Dude. So it's Earth Day, but guess what was Friday? It was 420. And we're going to be talking, dude. Next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I was gonna clean my room until I got high.
Earth Day, what?
Very green, man. It's very green.
But then I got high.
Who's back in high school? Or whatever age you were. I mean, elementary school?
No. Oh, Amy, what? Grade school for you, Amy?
Preschool?
No, I guess. Maybe this was middle school for me. Whatever makes me younger. Preschool.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. I'm Rick Hong. And if we all seemed a little dazed, maybe it's because of 420 on Friday. But today is Earth Day, so make sure to recycle. And speaking of recycling, I got Ashley Chaney.
Thanks, Rick. Pleasure to see you, just like that recycled joke.
Wow.
And we got Steve Kaufman.
You do have Steve Kaufman. He's digging through some weird stuff he just saw on Netflix. I'll get to it in a second.
And Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Hi there, everyone. It is Amy Cassandra Martinez. Hi.
So I gotta say, yeah, this song's awesome. I love this song. It's my new karaoke song. But you know what is not awesome?
Oh, I know.
Okay, Ashley.
Well, I mean, there's many things.
All right, so last week, because Ashley Chaney here was like, oh, we need to see it. So we played the trailer for Dude. And for a guy that I like, Lucy Hale, Alexander Shipp is awesome. What I found interesting was that not the actor Nat Wolff, but his younger brother Alex Wolff is the kind of like the romantic interest, like lead actor in this. And this movie was awful.
Awful, how so?
I give this one a hard pass. I think this is my conspiracy theory on this movie. So it has a good cast. So I'm thinking what happened was it must have been a good script. And maybe they attached a director or somewhere in the line from script to screen, the tone got messed up. And this movie, more than any other movie that I've ever seen, the tone is all over the place. I couldn't tell, like, because they marketed this as a stoner movie.
I was trying to be positive last week when we saw the trailer, but that's how the trailer felt. The trailer felt like four different movies.
They marked this as a stoner movie. It was dropping on 420. It's called Dude. I mean, if anything, don't call it Dude. Don't drop it on 420 or don't use one little scene that makes it seem like it's about, you know, Cheech and Chong or Dude, Where's My Car or whatever it is. But tonally, this movie was completely off. And I was really, really, really disappointed. And my only guess in getting those actresses like Lucy Hale and Alexandra Shipp is that the script must have been a lot better. And I think after they saw the final product, they did the thing of what kind of happened to Cloverfield 3, Paradox, where there's like, you know what, maybe we'll just drop it onto a streaming platform rather than try and get this released on the in the box office.
I seriously doubt that. I think that most studios plan for if you're going streaming, it's usually planned out way far in advance. Especially with that kind of lineup of a cast for a live action like that, I think that their intent.
Well, I mean, keep in mind too. I mean, you know, they probably got it produced, and keep in mind, it's just like, because the reason I say that is because I think about when Chuck Hayward was here for his movie Stepsisters.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he had that thing, like he was just like, he's like, this wasn't like a Netflix original type thing. It's just like, we had everything ready to go. And then Netflix decided to put it onto their streaming platform.
Well, Netflix bought it.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying.
They know before that ever goes on a streaming platform that it's going onto a streaming platform.
Not always. I look at this more as like an acquisition, or at some point during the deal process, they're just like, let's have a conversation about whether or not we want to try to use the marketing money, or let's just like save costs and just go streaming.
So either way, it doesn't speak highly of the film in Rick's opinion.
Now, I mean, I hate to say that too, because
but what about the bits? Were there funny like moments?
That's the problem. They were like bits. They were like little bits.
It's not cohesive.
Yeah, it's like having trail mix. It's like you have trail mix and like there's only like little bits of like M&Ms in there. Otherwise, it's just a lot of freaking peanuts. You know, and, you know, some like seeds and maybe some like raisins, but the chocolate, like the M&Ms that are in there, there's like maybe like three or four in a whole little bag. So you're kind of like, yeah, see, exactly. Well, so
there's a live studio audience today.
Thank you, audience. Thank you, everybody, for coming tonight.
Don't forget to join us in the chat, but keep going.
I'm wondering if the general public enjoyed the film. I haven't really heard of anyone talking about it.
Exactly.
So probably not. I don't think people were necessarily staying at home on 420 and watching Dude. Do you think it might have just been because there wasn't that much of a push for it?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know what? Even I wouldn't have thought of it, but Ashley Chaney kept pushing it. So I blame Ashley. No, I'm just kidding.
That's a lie, first of all. Kidding. Rick Hong and I were texting because we're actually BFFs outside of this show. It's hard to tell. But we were texting, and you were like, I can't even get through 30 minutes of it. And I'm like, you got to tell the people that it's that bad because it's.
And I pushed it to about an hour. And it's literally bits of funny. But overall, there's a lot of crazy stuff that goes on in this thing. And I was like, why is this even like supposed to be a comedy? I don't quite get it.
Hmm. If you didn't get it, I wonder what would have been a better, in 420, what are better movies to watch on 420 as opposed to Dude?
Pineapple Express.
Pineapple Express is
great.
I can't speak to whether that's on Netflix. I need to check.
You take a look, but yeah. I agree with you on that one. Dude, Where's My Car is fine. I mean, there's plenty of movies, but that's the thing. On 420, if you were popping this movie in, you were very disappointed, and I feel bad for you, and I'm sorry. Luckily, though, maybe you were a little better, I don't know, enhanced with...
Higher
48%
in higher spirits.
48% Rotten Tomatoes. No one likes.
Dude, 48% is generous.
Nope.
40. Like, you know what? I would rather watch, and I have not seen it yet. And when I do, I will report back. I would rather watch Mother with Jennifer Lawrence and Michelle Pfeiffer than watch this movie. And like, it's sad too because Lucy Hale actually just came out with a movie called Truth or Dare this weekend or last weekend.
Not this weekend. I think it was last.
And
did you get her? Weekend. Did you get to interview her?
No, she does Box Office Breakdown, so I don't know if you watched it.
I haven't seen it because I thought the trailers were hilarious. So that's not necessarily what you want to think when you are watching a scary movie. Hmm. And it looked really stupid. But I want to see it so I can have an opinion and hopefully like it.
Because, I mean, otherwise I can sit there and say for sure that if you want to see Alexandra Shipp, go see Love, Simon instead. That movie totally was like great. It's a tribute to John Hughes and she's good in it. So like that's like one thing. I was just like, if she had to pick two kind of tweener movies or like coming of age type things, like at least she's in Love, Simon. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. That is a good thing. Yeah. Nick Robinson, also shout out to him.
Hey, but you know what? I mean, I know that we have some good advice, but someone else has a lot better advice. And Amy Cassandra Martinez is the one that can tell us who it is.
This is true. We know a very special lady. So if you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life, well, if you do, you want to hear the podcast that is for you. So listen up. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. That is every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity...
Wait, did it drop on 420?
That is a Friday. With celebrity features, interviews, influencer interviews as well, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life, which I feel like we can all use.
Yes.
From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria Menounos be the big sister you've always wanted. Just make sure to go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos. Get this, guys, for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was us. Netflix picks.
That's right.
Nice. It's like we planned that. That sent you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. Check it out and let us know what you think, and let her know what you think.
And give her 5 stars because she's 5-star talent.
Yes. Give her a thumbs up.
5-star lady. She's a 5-star lady.
And the rating system's broken. You can't give any other amount of stars. Yes.
You have to pay.
5 is the only one that works, guys. We've all tried it. Trust us on that.
All right. So, but here's the good part about movies. So, we've had this debate about Netflix movies. I just talked about Cloverfield Paradox, which for sure was dumped to Netflix. We just talked about Dude. Ashley Chaney did not like the movie Bright, as where I think most of our panel thought it was.
That to me was unwatchable.
I did not like Bright.
Unwatchable.
Amy?
Unwatchable. Did not like it. Totally agree with the panel. I don't know anyone that really did enjoy it.
Yeah.
So okay, actually, that is a $90 million movie that Netflix paid to have Will Smith, and they're going to do a sequel for it.
What?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's a sequel.
But so it must just be a play to bring everybody to Netflix to show them, like, we can be the place that launches big blockbuster films. That has to be the play. Because they're
trying.
But I think the play is the four of us all genuinely don't like the show. Didn't like Bright.
Oh, God.
But I thought it was okay.
But we all stayed subscribed.
Exactly.
So, oh, yeah.
They don't lose anything.
Yeah, there was sizzle and steak.
Yeah.
The sizzle was Bright. We can come in and not like the sizzle, but the steak is that you get to watch The Office at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and then you get to shuffle those episodes however you want, because it's Netflix, and you can do
Kimmy
that.
Unbreakable
Kimmy Schmidt.
It's been a while. It's so good.
The other thing is, there is something on Netflix for everyone.
Yes.
Like you said, we may not have liked Bright, but there are people out there that probably did. There are people that are watching each and every one of these shows. So I think it's safe to say that Netflix knows that they're always going to have us.
Well, something that's been in my queue, and Netflix has been doing a big sci-fi push. We saw that with Lost in Space, mm-hmm. Altered Carbon, and somebody that you guys don't see on this panel, but who manages to always make me look really good, is the guy in our booth, Steve Engberg.
Hi, Steve.
Can we get some flashes?
You mean those flashes?
Yeah, there we go.
For those of you who are listening, the studio
so
was lit up.
So this guy, he absolutely loves Noomi Rapace. And if you don't know who she is, Noomi Rapace, Kaufman, I want you to look it up. Noomi Rapace is the actual Swedish actress that did Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. And,
oh, she's fantastic.
Yeah, and the sequel and its third movie, Girl with Whatever and mm-hmm. all that stuff. They should be on Netflix, but they may not be. They've been on there for a long time. But she is in a movie called Whatever Happened to Monday. It's been, okay. And Willem Dafoe is in it.
You know,
and,
I've heard good things about this movie.
And Glenn Close.
Rick, real quick, What Happened to Monday?
What Happened to Monday? Yeah.
I'm talking about
Whatever Happened to Monday Tomorrow, man. I'm not talking about What Happened to Monday. Yeah, but this is what the thumbnail you probably see in your watch list or like what your new releases or recommends or whatever. And I decided to click on it, and because it has Glenn Close, Willem Dafoe, Noomi Rapace is amazing. She is at her all-time best in this movie, because if you guys are fans of Orphan Black. And Tatiana Maslany playing a bunch of clones in that. So What Happened to Monday? She plays seven sisters Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in this movie. And the whole premise is it's kind of like China, I believe, where China only allows you to have a certain amount of kids.
A dystopian future where you can only have one kid. Mm-hmm. And then Willem Dafoe adopts seven identical kids, and his ploy is each of you are the same person, and you only get to leave the house one day.
Yep.
Oh, weird.
So like, and so they grow up that whole time, like the same job, interacting with the same people, but like on Monday this person goes, on Tuesday this person goes, and
wait, is she speaking? Because she's a foreign actress. Is she speaking in English? Is it subtitled? What's happening?
Because she's speaking English. Glenn Close, and she speaks good English.
Does she? Oh, because in Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the original was all subtitled.
Yeah, but she's like Alicia Vikander, who speaks great English.
Oh, she's not. Okay.
Yeah, her English.
You didn't know she wasn't American? Alicia Vikander?
I know she wasn't American. I thought she was like British.
I, you know, the Swedes speak good English, I guess. So, well, but Noomi Rapace is.
She speaks good English.
Yeah, yeah. She's awesome in this from. Here's the one that was redeeming about my weekend. If I had to watch Dude and struggle through an hour, this one's great because as soon as you pop it on, you give it to about its premise.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just keeps going, 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 going.
When I first heard about this premise, I thought it was a series.
Mm.
Like, just I thought it was a TV series.
Well, then,
and
then to a degree, then it becomes Orphan Black.
True.
But which Tatiana Maslany is amazing in that show, but Noomi Rapace does a really good job for a movie for this. And so this one's on a high recommend, especially if you love sci-fi or you want kind of like this like action, you know, suspense type
you know, sci-fi, this is it.
This is it. I like that I had heard about What Happened to Monday a while ago, and I just kind of dismissed it, even though I thought, hey, no, it does sound cool. And people were saying, it does, it's good, guys, watch it. But when you get new things, you're like, oh, okay, no, I'll get to it. And you said it was in your queue. So what makes us go back and actually look to our queue and decide, like, you know what, I'm actually going to start watching this? Because there's always new stuff dropping, and honestly, I can't tell you the last time I looked at my queue.
I was going to say, my queue's mental. Like, I don't even know where the actual queue is on.
Well, it's because our engineer, Steve, just kept saying, new mirror base. So I think subliminally she was in my brain. But it's also the reason I pop it on is because she's a good actress. Yeah. And Glenn Close is a good actress. Willem Dafoe, I think.
So you totally will pick based on the talent of the film.
No, I'll at least give it a little bit of a chance on some level, and I'll try to see like kind of who's attached or what's going on, or like look at the premise to see if it's something that I like. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, at one point in time, I was gonna pop on this movie that was called Beyond Skyline with Frank Grillo, but I looked at all the other actors and I was like, I don't recognize them. I know him, and that's kind of a sci-fi-ish thing. But I was like, you know what? I want to do this because it's also Netflix branded. Mm-hmm. And all of the different movies that I've talked about, you know, if you want to have some faith in a Netflix movie, other than Stepsisters, of course.
Stepsisters was great. I love Stepsisters.
Yeah. So this one will not disappoint you. It's kind of like that thing where you're at home and you're craving something and you finally get it and it's like cold McDonald's French fries and you're like, dude, if they were only warm and hot like I wanted them, this is the thing that you can wash your mouth out with and be like very happy.
This would be the liquid that you wash out.
I'm just saying the bad taste. If you watch something and like you're like that sucked, this movie, What Happened to Monday, will be the one to say to redeem your faith in Netflix and keep your subscription. And
they'd have to do so much to get rid to encourage me to get rid of my subscription. It would have to be just offensive.
They would have to hire Will Smith to just do a 2-hour one man show saying, hey. Hey, unsubscribe.
Yeah. Yo. And even then, you know, that would probably be more entertaining than Bright. I would watch that over Bright.
He would literally make that awesome.
Will Smith is a national treasure. He would make that amazing.
That's my challenge to these guys is to watch this. But I also give it 5 stars, just like how you guys, if you can't see us, you can always download us on Apple iTunes. Give us 5 stars because that's all we got. Mm-hmm. Write in the comments too. Write and tell me how awesome I am, and I'll give you a shout out.
you will give them a shout out.
And if you say that someone else is awesome, I'll be like, oh, you suck. So either way, you get a shout out. But please give us 5 stars. Go download us. If you can't, you know, if you can't stay, like, watch us live on Sundays, or you don't have the internet for some reason.
Yeah, we understand that you can't always be watching us, but you can always be listening to us.
And if you're just listening to us, we're actually all supermodels. So it's, don't worry about tuning in. Just know that we're all supermodels.
They're already aware of that.
Yeah. Okay, they're good.
They are aware.
All right. So then this is the question to my panel is what did you guys watch this week?
I have some updates.
Oof.
Okay, give us the updates.
Well, Amy issued a challenge to watch Alexa and Kate.
Yes, KT.
Sorry.
That's all right. I said whatever happened to Monday, and it's standing like right on the TV, and I'm like, oh, oops.
The reason I probably messed up the title is because I'm so sorry.
No!
I'm sorry. No! I cannot endorse that show for anybody over the age of like 16, and even that's pushing 16. It a little. It was very,
it's true. Amy Cassandra's only like 15.
So 15, that's funny. I'm actually 12.
No, it felt.
It's the makeup.
I think what was interesting though is it felt fully like Disney programming. Like it fully felt like, oh, these are definitely Disney showrunners and definitely Disney actors, and it felt Disney all the way. So I thought, oh, that's cool for people who don't have cable. They can get it on Netflix, get their Disney Channel on Netflix. But it was like hard for me to swallow because it was very Disney.
Well, how many pills did you swallow? How many episodes?
I've made it just almost to the end of episode one, and I.
No, yeah. You can't do that. No.
I don't give it more than 20 minutes, and I gave it like 24. That's
very fair.
It's really.
So it's either up to me or Steve to be the tiebreaker.
that's great.
I want you guys to watch it together. But
the truth is that here's like the one thing. I mean, we have our knowledge. We give you guys suggestions. But the funny thing is that it's already getting a second season. So maybe that tells you something about taste.
I'm saying it's great for a certain audience. It's not my audience. audience.
Yeah.
See,
but it's great for like a safe Disney programming, like, you know, options for.
Yes. Hence why Steve and I won't participate in
You should participate.
I watched the trailer. I wasn't interested.
I like the idea of it. And I was thinking the same thing. If you rewound me, you know, like 5 years ago, I'd be.
5 years ago. He wishes.
But
nope, that's not ruined by anybody. What about you guys? What did you guys watch?
This panel challenged me to watch season 3, episode 3 of The West Wing, which is actually part 1 of part 2, so I just watched both halves. Mm-hmm. It was a really good episode.
West Wing.
It's literally...
West Wing is amazing.
West Wing Roulette. You can literally pick any episode of West Wing, it would be awesome.
And you don't have to know the backstory?
No.
Okay.
Oh, well, wow. But
it's from a time of TV... Like, West Wing is from a time of TV where it's still expected to kind of spoon-feed... Both the previously, but then really beat you over the head at the top of the scene of what has already happened. If you watch the first 2 seasons of X-Files, that happened. That's like, I would say that's 10% of every scene in the first 2 or 3 seasons of X-Files. Yeah. It's like, I am Mulder, you are Scully. This happened this time, this happened that. Beat you over the head exposition. Because back then, people didn't watch every week.
Whenever I travel, I feel like the show, like, if I'm ever like, oh, do you guys, you know, what are you guys watching? Everybody, it's West Wing. Like, internationally, yes. West Wing is, like, the most popular show.
Well, because I figure, like, you almost want to live in that world as opposed to the world that we currently live in, the political climate. But, come on, Martin Sheen is president. However, in any of those 2 episodes, Steve, what I want to know is my girlfriend in any of those 2 episodes?
Which girlfriend?
Lizzie Moss, was she in any of those 2 episodes?
You guys.
President's daughter?
No, she was not. By season three, they weren't using, like, because Dulé Hill was further in the administration. They were actually threatening to subpoena him for his relations with her, but she was not present.
Oh, so maybe I have to watch seasons 1 and 2. But I'll tell you what, someone that did see Lizzie Moss on the... See, when you know her, which I don't, but Elizabeth Moss from The Handmaid's Tale. But someone that did see her on the carpet and got to talk to her was our very own Amy Cassandra Martinez, and she had some good interaction. So
Amy, where do we see those
images? Go online or go on your...
Go on my Instagram, and I will direct you where you need to go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. It was fun. It was for season 2 premiere of Handmaid's Tale,
which obviously is not a Netflix show. But if it was, it'd be awesome. But yes, I just had to. But I know
no, that's.
I mean, because she's in Mad Men, which is on Netflix. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize that one of her first credits was The West Wing.
Yes.
So that's why I had to ask, because if I do chime in, I'm probably going to watch for her.
And that Aleve commercial that they still play.
Really?
Yes, she's in an Aleve commercial that they still.
They've been playing it
for literally like 30 years.
I thought you were saying that they were leaving commercials still in the show, and I was like, wow, that's crazy.
Good for her. She's getting a payday off of that.
Steve, did you watch anything new?
I made it only to about episode 5 of Lost in Space. And
oh, okay, so you continued. So what do you think?
I continued it. I couldn't stick around.
That's right.
Parker Posey was the only thing keeping me for about 2 weeks, to be very honest.
True. Like, yes, she's awesome.
She was doing a master class on how to act as a villain.
Yeah.
But it was just too much. Like, it was easily a 2-pound bag, and they were trying to put 5 pounds of content into it every episode. It just wasn't for me.
People are talking about it everywhere. Like, in my office, in my circle. I mean, it's getting a lot of buzz.
They're marketing it everywhere. Yeah. I mean, billboards, magazines. I think I picked up an Entertainment Weekly, and I flipped it over, and it has the thing, and I was like...
But it's not
well,
bad.
Well, it's very nostalgic for a lot of people, too. So you're getting two audiences again. I think it has a special place in a lot of people's hearts.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and yeah.
Well, it doesn't really have a special place in my heart, but I will give it a try again, because I do like trying to watch a show even when I didn't really like it the first time, because
you guys are
just in the mood. I wasn't in the mood. That's all it was. And I do like myself some sci-fi and all of that. But this past week, I watched one show that I've already talked about that we've talked about here, but I finished...
You're getting through it? Well,
I finished the whole first season of Alexa and Katie.
That's great. It got picked up for a second season, so nothing is more disappointing when you finish a series and then you find out that it doesn't get picked up for a second season.
Here's the thing. I have come to the conclusion that I understand why Alexa and Katie is so important to me, and why it just hits me, because the last episode, I was bawling my eyes out. I'm not going to spoil
it. Wasn't allergies?
It was most definitely not allergies. I embraced my tears, guys. But yes, the last episode really is so touching, And I understand, you know, what you said about it being Disney programming. But when I was watching Disney as a kid, it was not this heartfelt. It was the parents were stupid and the, like, the kids were the boss and whatever, except for Boy Meets World. But Boy Meets World wasn't really
ABC.
Disney.
That was ABC.
Exactly.
That was
TGIF. So I don't like that kind of Disney programming where it's like, no, no, no. That's not realistic.
Well, and storytelling has evolved.
Yeah. Storytelling most definitely has evolved. So Alexa and Katie doesn't really just touch on, oh my God, look, we're in high school. We're new kids. You know, we're freshmen. It goes deeper than that. I've talked about it before. It's about this girl dealing with cancer. And as someone who's lost a parent due to cancer, I can relate to everything that everyone around her is feeling.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, girl, like, you're going through all of this. And I can only imagine that people watching can feel the same way. And we can relate to, so Alexa's the one with cancer. So they can relate to Katie.
Yeah.
And Katie wanting to be there for her.
Yeah.
And, like, doing all these things. Like, spoiler alert, not so much as the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
Katie shaves her head for Alexa so she doesn't feel bad.
Yeah.
I don't know that many people would do that at that age. And so that's what it was just like, woo, I'm there. And they kept me hooked. Another show that I started watching just because when I'm watching so many intense shows with adults, I want to see something where there's kids. I think that's why I first turned to Alex and Katie. On My Block, I finally started watching it. And I had interviewed the cast before the premiere of the first, well, of all the episodes. And it's really cool because they do a really good job of showing these characters in a normal kind of light. Like, they are not pretending to be someone else. Like, I mean, I can't remember all of the characters' names, obviously. I've only seen the first episode, but they're so relatable. There's this one scene where they hear gunshots and they're running away and they're yelling someone help me out with this, the size of the bullets or whatever. It's like, oh, it's a 47. No,
oh, AK-47.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm like, whoa.
Shells,
whoa. I mean, living in South Texas, that was not super normal thing for me. But I understand it's normal for other people.
Well, you mentioned that's two cool shows. Like, things that I wanted to say about Alexa and Katie is that, and now maybe this changes as the episode goes on, but first and foremost is that they approach cancer from a comedy perspective. So that's great. Like, they take some lighthearted moments and it's not just sad the whole time.
Yes.
Maybe that changes as it goes on.
Yeah.
Not so much. Okay, great. Well, cry fest. Live. Okay. But the second part of that was that I didn't see a ton of diversity in the, and again, I only made it 24 minutes into the first episode. It's the first season, so first episode. So
the
I
pilot,
could be missing
the pilot of the pilot
of the pilot,
right?
So I could be missing some diversity, but then On My Block is the exact opposite of that.
Complete diversity.
It's like the most diverse cast ever. So there's I you know.
Well, yeah, and Alexa and Katie, they do. I mean, Alexa is
half. I guess her father's Asian.
Her father is Asian, yeah. And there are plenty of white people on it. Yes, but I'm hoping that they will broaden that. That's a good point. Yes. Yeah. I mean, and the thing is that, yeah, On My Block is the complete opposite.
Refreshing.
But right now, On My Block isn't like,
tell people who may not know what On My Block is about.
On My Block is about these kids. They are just starting high school, I want to say.
Yeah.
Yes. And they are in this part of town that isn't very safe. And they're trying to navigate that life with, you know, making sure that they go to school and participate in normal school things, but also try to survive in that dangerous neighborhood. And I don't know if it's like somewhere in LA.
I feel like it's based
something
in LA, right?
East LA.
East LA.
So yeah, it's like four or five kids and you get to meet all these different kinds of personalities. Yeah. And I think that adults and kids will relate to at least one person.
That's a good reminder. I want to watch the show. Yeah. I haven't watched it so long.
Because, like, that's what I said about, that was my problem with Everything Sucks. Everything Sucks felt like it wanted to be kind of in that tween realm, coming of age with a little bit, and using the 90s as like a cheap gag where I wasn't buying it and biting on it, and they were trying to go off of Stranger Things, I'm in this hip right now. Yeah, I'm in video class too, and I want to make movies, and you know, like, whereas On My Block is, yeah, it's great. It's diverse. Not that Everything Sucks wasn't. It's diverse, but it's not trying to be Stranger Things, but it feeds that market, and you haven't seen that kind of storytelling before.
Yeah.
Before, true.
In that group, in that group of kids.
There, at the red carpet, there were a few outlets that were upset about one of the characters that is actually playing a Latina that is not Latina.
What is she?
Haven't gotten
she
to her.
She is human.
Haven't. Exactly. She is human. But it just kind of opens up the language about, or the discussion about, should non-Latinas play Latina roles?
Hey, here's the
because,
thing.
Because, hi.
They're actors.
They're actors. We're acting. But there are Latinas out there, actors, that would have loved that role to represent a Latina. You don't, you know, it's kind of like, hey, you could play a white person if you're a white person, and that's awesome. They could have changed the role instead of pretending like, but hi.
I'm going to challenge you on that then. Okay. How come the kid in Alexa and Katie, how come they didn't cast somebody who'd actually survive cancer? It's not fair.
It's not fair, no. But
so it's not, you can't always be equitable, and that's what acting is about. You're portraying a character. Everybody has a chance to audition for the same role. You get to, and if you can't tell whether you look Latina or whether you look Asian, it doesn't matter.
You can tell.
Then it doesn't matter.
Here's a piece of it. You are absolutely right. But the other piece too is that when you're trying to put something together, it's also who is the best person that showed up that day and auditioned and say like, I can be this person. So like, hence why, like you said, that's why it's called acting. But
and you don't want to give the role to somebody just
because. It's always a conversation. It's always a conversation.
But judging from Amy's comment, it sounds like that didn't happen. It sounds like she didn't ring true as the character.
I haven't gotten to it. That's what I'm saying. Okay. At the carpet, that was the discussion that was being made. So once I get there, I can give you guys my input.
Yeah.
But maybe this will encourage you to watch on my blog and see what you think about it.
Yeah.
As a Latina, I'm like, hey, there are plenty of us out there to fill that role. I don't know if literally she is the only person in the entire universe that could have played that role. Haven't gotten there. So we'll see.
Fair.
That's fair. That's fair.
So watch on my blog. What I'm trying to
yeah,
say.
No. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Like I said, it wasn't. I mean, kind of like Ashley said about Lux and Katie, is that when I watched the pilot, there wasn't anything that I didn't like about it. I just know for me to move forward in terms of all the stuff that we had to cover for you guys, that I was like, you know what? I was like, I value it, but it's not going to make me go forward. Whereas like, if everything sucks, I tried to go forward and I tried to push through and I said, no, this sucks. And there is no season 2 pickup, but we'll see those actors on other shows, I'm pretty sure. I did a little bit of nostalgia because Steve talked about it. We covered this a couple weeks ago. So we were talking about Ricky Gervais and his show, his stand-up. And so I've kind of been on this Ricky Gervais kick. And it's really funny because I was watching an old episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where he's opposite Larry David and they're doing their things and it's hilarious. And so it reminded me that Extras, Steve Kaufman, K-A-U-F-M-A-N, and said that it was on there. So I started watching it and I watched the first episode. And I know that pilots are always tricky.
Yeah.
Trying to get the pilot right and the whatever. And Ben Stiller's in this one. And so when I was first watching it, I was like, and production value is a little, because it's a BBC thing. And I was like, oh. But as I got to the end of it, I was like, yeah. I'm going to, it's also Ricky Gervais, but a fat, like, Ricky Gervais not looking his healthiest. Yeah, but I thank you for like saying that Extras was on because I kept looking for it on
about?
HBO.
I don't even know what it's about.
I've never heard of
it. It's about Ricky Gervais playing a character fairly similar to – it's a more hybrid of himself and the person he played in The Office would be the best way to describe.
David Brent.
David Brent. Like it would be a hybrid between Ricky Gervais in real life and David Brent would be who I would explain the character from Extras is.
Okay.
And their profession is – to be background on BBC TV shows.
That's awesome.
Which
I love it.
Which is a different hustle from, like, it's a different hustle from out here. Whereas out here, if you did a show about that in Los Angeles, it would be about
a different show.
It would be about a bunch of people, like, day to day, day in, day out, not getting to even do extra work.
Yeah.
Because everyone moves out here and thinks they can do it. Whereas we're left to assume the culture is different, and especially in, like, the early aughts when they shot Extras. That it was presumed and made more
early
sense.
Does that mean early 2000s?
Yes.
Okay. Good. I was like, I don't know what you're saying, Steve. I don't know.
But that it early made aughts. Sense that there were only so many people who actually wanted to do background work on the daily.
And now, were you hooked after the pilot? You're in. You said you.
Oh yeah, I'll keep going. I mean, here's in the thing about Ricky Gervais, which makes him probably the most, and he doesn't have any shame in saying it. Probably makes him one of the most genius entertainment people. Is that it's only like 5 episodes, just like how The Office was only 2 seasons. This guy is loaded for only doing half the work that everybody else does. And so it's an easy digestible 5. I'm going to be getting into it. Okay. So I'll report back on it, but I know it was a big hit. And like I said, I'm on this Ricky Gervais train right now. So thanks, Steve Coffin, for actually recommending it on this panel, because I've been looking for it and I didn't even realize amongst all the content that's on Netflix. And speaking of stand-up specials, I mean, there was also an interesting one that dropped. An hour and a half is the Honeymoon stand-up special, which is Moshe Kasher and Natasha Leggero, who are a real couple in real life. Mm-hmm. And she gets half an hour, he gets a half an hour, and then there's like another half hour. Mm. And her whole bit, I'm only through her part of it right now, but she's very pregnant.
Yes.
She's very, very pregnant. So her whole bit is about, you know, being pregnant, and she makes a lot of like references to
like birthing jokes.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, you know, like wanting to smoke weed, and then like, you know, she hits some politics and presidents, and even saying it's just like, you know, do we really need to have kids and that type of stuff, you know. Well,
my issue with her comedy in general has been that she always punches down.
Punches down.
Like she rarely made fun of Donald Trump so much as she made fun of Trump voters. Where she's not wrong, but to make fun of a Trump voter, and in a way of like completely devaluing them as a human, really is punching down. And like, I couldn't get, and that bit was so early in her 30 minutes that I had trouble getting past that, where I'm like, oh, she just keeps punching down. And she tries to talk about how she's from a similar type of situation, but she never implicates herself to bring herself to the level of the people she's making fun of. Like, that was just a comedy writer note. The jokes were sharp, but the target of the jokes from the person telling them, just, it felt like, well, why are you? Because they voted for a person, we're allowed to just literally completely dehumanize them. The comedy was sharp, though.
Comedy specials are tricky. I haven't seen a ton that I've been loving lately.
Richard Bezos was good.
His was great.
I saw, there's another thing that's on Netflix that actually was at the taping for, called The Stand-Ups. And it's Gina Yashere, who was a correspondent on The Daily Show. Mm-hmm. Okay. And her whole joke is this, that she's female, but she very much has the English accent of Idris Elba. So she's really, really funny. The other actors are the other comedians. So I was like, okay, but it's on there. If you're into stand-up comedy and like you're not looking for like a big, big name yet, then there's 4 of them that they're on the thing and where I was at the taping for. That was kind of the drops this week. The drops this week were, we talked about it, were Dude. Mm-hmm. And the other one was that was popping up in my new releases was the Honeymoon stand-up special. Mm-hmm. However, this is one, this guy has a multi-picture deal with Netflix, and this is his next thing that's coming out. And I can tell you right after this what his next thing after that will be. But Adam Sandler is doing a movie with Chris Rock. And so, Ashley Chaney, take it away.
Why am I taking it away? Roll the clip. Roll that beautiful image.
Well, we should be there in 45 minutes to an hour 30, so.
I miss Adam Sandler's voice.
I miss Chris, or
crank up the AC.
Well, dude, it's great to be Adam Sandler's friend.
Well, yeah.
He'll put me in a movie.
That was an AC nod. Or was the AC not? I thought you were not.
I've,
all right, let's see how the window goes for a bit.
This is one of the early, early teasers, by the way, guys.
I've seen this trailer and it looks really funny, but I've been burned so many times.
By Sandler?
By Sandler on Netflix, specifically.
I was going to say, how many pictures into this multi-picture deal is he? Because he's had a couple.
Well, it depends, because there are some he wasn't even in. Like, there was that Kevin James spy movie that he probably just produced. They probably counted towards like a 15-picture deal.
Weddings bring families together is what we're seeing.
How old are, yeah, like they don't look old enough.
I mean, Sandler's getting into his. I mean, he's about to start getting to be about 50, so he has to kind of start playing. He can't play those juvenile characters anymore.
He's a permanent man boy. Sandler.
How's this? Let me turn it on for you. Better.
I mean, I think his oldest daughter's like almost 10.
That's it. Yeah, I guess I get stuck on that.
So that's coming out next weekend.
Okay.
So it's coming out. I'll definitely be watching. I'm sure the rest of the panel will definitely be watching because it's Adam Sandler.
Well, because it's Adam Sandler, but also I have a huge thing for wedding movies.
Oh. Okay.
So they're not. They're not all created equal. And I used to work in the wedding industry, so I judge harshly.
I'll be checking it out for sure. Mm-hmm. I will be laid up in a bed, not a hospital bed, but I won't be here, likely won't be here next week, so I'll be checking out all the Netflix, and I would love any suggestions from my panel and also from you listeners and viewers. Please send some.
Oh, speaking of, who's in our let's give some shout outs. Who's in here?
Shout outs to Lawrence Falk II in our chat. Star Drew.
Star Drew
in all the chats.
Mr. Canada.
Xavier Woods Jr. Tidan Tev. I'm sorry, that's the best I'll get there. Drew Baldwin in the chat.
Oh, what's up, Drewby?
And I believe I've shouted out all the chats. We got a lot of tree emojis in the chat.
No, that's awesome. Thank you guys always for watching and tuning in and chatting in. And obviously, you guys know you can always comment below too after the broadcast as well. Serenity, I'm talking to you. I know Serenity. You lied too. Hey, Chris Rock is going to be in this one, so come on.
I have an Earth Day programming special.
Yes, yes.
So it's Earth Day today, and it was 4/20. You know, this past weekend. Seems appropriate. You guys, it's been on Netflix for a while, but if you haven't watched either Planet Earth 1 and Planet Earth 2, this is the weekend to do it. I turned it on today, watched all of the Islands episode, and then got started on the Mountains episode. It is so, I forget, I hadn't seen it since the first season of Planet Earth. What? Holy spumoni, how they get these shots. They had like a camera attached to an eagle, guys. It's so good. It's like how it's like the most thrilling movie, but it's animals. So
it's
good.
Yeah. It's a movie with animals. Narrated by
David Attenborough, the legend that is David Attenborough, and it's just so captivating. I just recommend definitely better than any movie I've seen in a while.
But you know what? Here's one good thing: is that Captain Planet is not on Netflix.
How is that a good thing?
Because that was an awful cartoon. I don't even know how that thing got made. But
Ted Turner wrote it. That's how it got made.
Maybe. That, yeah. Okay. I'll take your word for that one. Well, before we wrap, guys, here's a little news. Here's a little news about the Sandler thing. I just found this out last night. Is the next thing that possibly could drop for Adam Sandler with his multi-picture deal that he has with Netflix he is on tour with Rob Schneider.
Oh, boy.
Dropping in different cities.
Did you see all our excited faces?
Cut his freaking head off!
I love Rob Schneider!
You can do it!
That's it. That's all he can do.
Next thing down the road that we're going to see of Adam Sandler's drop on Netflix is he's on tour doing a comedy thing with Rob Schneider. So I don't know if it's a movie. I think it's just like they're just touring and doing their stand-up and doing bits and stuff because they're comedians. And it's something different type of program that Adam Sandler can offer up doing this deal, more cheaper than doing like a real production. But Amy Cassandra Martinez, what are your top three picks for this week?
Hi phone, you just quit on me. Okay, here's the thing. You know that I've got you covered with all Marvel things, and there's a small little movie you may have heard of that is coming out on the 27th.
Yeah, no, I was going to ask you that question. It's like, what should people be watching Marvel-wise?
A small little movie. Obviously, Avengers Infinity War is coming out on the 27th. So, to get caught up on anything Marvel that you'd like to see, you know that Netflix has got you covered with Netflix Marvel TV programming. But if you don't want to go into the TV because you want to focus on the movies, Civil War is on Netflix. Doctor Strange is on Netflix. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is on Netflix. And that's about it as far as movies. But, I mean, those are plenty. If you do not own them already, go ahead and buy them, too. And then you can just watch them all. I don't recommend watching all 18 movies before the 20s.
You'd have to start now.
You'd have to start yesterday.
And you would have. Sleep. But.
But, hey, it's worth it. So try to watch those. Those are probably, three recommendations, actually. 1, 2, 3. Oh, perfect. And then, of course, let me know what you think of Avengers Infinity War. I already have tickets to see it 3 times.
Jeez. Okay.
Dedicated, I know. All right.
Steve, what are your top 3 picks?
Oh, boy. My top 3 picks, normally I pick something I've seen already. My top 3 picks today are all things I have not seen.
Well, yeah, and obviously that's one of them, you can't say that one.
There's a Brazilian thriller that's having its second season this week, also, I believe, on the 27th, called 3%.
Oh, yeah. People have mentioned that. Yes.
That season one was my pick a long time ago. Season two, get on that. Like, I know there's a lot else happening this weekend, but that's going to be really good. I searched for Robert De Niro because I watched Goodfellas recently because that's on Netflix. And I noticed they're really loaded up on Robert De Niro. One that looked really interesting to me is Hands of Stone, the true story of Roberto Duran. It's a boxing movie with Robert De Niro. It's from 2016. Never heard of it. And where is the third thing that I thought I had queued up so I can tell it to you? I stalled really well. Kodachrome. It is called Kodachrome.
I started Kodachrome, so we'll talk about that next week.
Okay. Great. Kodachrome record company exec joins his estranged dad, a famous photographer who's dying on a road trip to the last lab still developing Kodachrome film. It is Jason Sudeikis and Ed Harris and Elizabeth Olsen. It looks great.
Elizabeth Olsen. Record day. Music, records, records.
Tower Records? Spinny.
No, like the actual record store or whatever, that day was a few days ago.
On Saturday.
I'm not crazy.
On Saturday,
yeah.
You had all the words. Almost in the right
Ashley
order.
Chaney?
Just ties in.
My top three. Continue with Chef's Table. Love it. The pastry season, it's so good. Everyone's fantastic. Because it's Earth Day, I'm sticking with... Watch some of the Planet Earths. You can't go wrong with any single one that you choose. And I'm still in a shameless hole, so I'm still loving it. And if anybody wants to chat about it and you're also in it, in this shameless thing, there is so much on Netflix right now. And I would love your suggestions for what to binge on while I'm recovering. So.
Well, there's two seasons of an international show. Again, it's Steve the Engineer that's telling me to watch this. So I'm going to be watching Money Heist.
Ayo.
And also, what just wrapped on Friday was season 4 of Jane the Virgin. So it should be dropping very quickly on Netflix. I heard it was this crazy twist. Uh-oh. So go watch that if you're into Jane the Virgin or you want to know what this crazy twist is. And Into the Badlands, the new season 3 is going to be dropping. I'm getting ready to finish it up just in time for that. So, Amy Cassandra Martinez, where can everybody find you?
On all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ. Please join me on Instagram because you will see my face after I see Infinity War.
True that. I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. I do a lot of shows here at AfterBuzz TV. I tweet about them regularly. Including this time next week, I will be covering the greatest Royal Rumble. WWE is in Saudi Arabia this Friday. We'll be covering it the following Sunday.
Are you going to Saudi Arabia?
I'm not. I'm going to Vegas at that time, but I'll be back in
Vegas,
time.
Vegas, Saudi Arabia.
It's about the same.
Guys, find me online at Ashley on Camera, and let's talk about whatever you're watching, specifically if it's food or travel. And our Hell's Kitchen after show will be starting, I think we're starting back up again at the end of May. I'm not covering Hell's Kitchen. Check back on that. It's going to be good. There'll be food. For now, find me online, Ashley on Camera. Let's talk about what you're eating and where you're going.
Hey, guys, and I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, RCKHONG. I'm also on the Legion after panel here on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock. I was just on an hour before for the Expanse after show, so catch us then on Sundays before Netflix picks. And that's it. So we'll be covering Adam Sandler's the week of, and we'll also be covering the 3% next week and whatever else drops. So check you later.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.